keep it right here, right now. It is time to go to our newsmaker line and Mr. Pete O'Shea with Dr. Carl Benzio of Lighthouse Network.
That's right, Glenn. Dr. Carl Benzio is the founder and the executive director of Lighthouse Network, and we're so pleased to have him with us. Good morning, Dr. Benzio. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for being here. Lighthouse Network offers hope and guidance to loved ones of the that are addicted to things. It's a premier Christian addiction referral service. Let's start right from the beginning. Most addicts do have to start that road to recovery because a loved one is brave enough to, as we know, intervene on their behalf. And you guys do a great job of offering the family and friends help with that. What are the practical things you give them to help?
Yeah, that's, you know, whenever a person starts that journey, rarely does it come from inside themselves. Sometimes it does, but usually it's because an event, a person in their life, you know, pushes them to do some reevaluation and self-reflection. And one of the things that we talk about, we have a bunch of resources at lighthousenetwork.org, especially under parenting addicts. But, you know, certainly want to start off with prayer. You know, you want to be in a prayerful mind state of understanding God's sovereignty in this and, you know, invoking his power in this process. Being able to check your attitude and motivation as you're going to talk to somebody. This is a complex, emotionally packed situation, so you want to check what your attitude and motivation is as you go in. Because if you have me-centered elements in there, the addict is going to know that right off the bat, going to call you on it, and you're going to be diverted on a whole other path of argument and discussion and power play that has nothing to do with their particular situation. You know, addiction is a contagious disease. We don't often think of it. There is no germ or bacteria, so we don't think of it as contagious. But addictions are contagious, and that cruddy thinking that an addict has, it's contagious and infects those people that are close to them and people around them. So, you know, as parents, as spouses, as children of loved ones who have an addiction issue, you have to be real careful of how you're thinking, how you're processing information, because their crappy thinking, their me-centered thinking, you know, even demonic thinking at times, it seems like, you know, it's contagious and it rubs off on you and it interferes with your ability to see things from a godly perspective. So we try to help people manage their emotions, manage their feelings, try to have a godly perspective of the situation so they can move forward and be able to help their loved one.
So again, the times that they hurt you, the times that they cause you strife, you need to temper that and not make it that really strong, tough love. You need to put the healing power of Jesus in it, because we all know that makes a difference in success and failure in anything. So how do you guys incorporate that healing power of Jesus Christ into what you're trying to do for that person who's addicted?
Yeah, you know, that's ultimately where we get our opportunity and power to be transformed. So again, that having that attitude, having that framework as the person intervening is important to be able to, you know, be prayerful and be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But forgiveness is a powerful concept. There's a lot of healing in forgiveness, and you know, for the individual, not the addict, but the parent or the spouse, to, you know, to be able to have some forgiveness for the individual. That doesn't condone their behavior, doesn't say it's right, but to be able to forgive as Jesus forgives, you know, he's obviously a great role model for forgiveness. So forgiveness is an important part of that equation and mixture. Try to, you know, realize that we don't have to be perfect. You know, thankfully, we don't have to be perfect. You know, God is perfect. God is sovereign over all things. So even if we make a mistake or we misstep, you know, having that godly attitude, we don't have to be perfect with our intervention or our style or what we say. Being led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is the power we all have in us to be able to think clearly and to follow that godly path, and to how we need to make sure that we don't have unconfessed sin in our life, in our heart, so that the Holy Spirit can flow maximally to that situation. And the biggest thing, I think, is the Word. We have the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, the best instruction book for living every day. And that renews the mind. Those principles, that instruction renews the mind. And at lighthousenetwork.org, we have some workshops. We have some free resources there. Our Stepping Stones devotional really starts that instruction process, both for the intervener and the addict, to really start to become a godly decision maker. Because God has given us a formula to actually renew our brain chemistry, our wiring, our circuitry in our mind. When the Bible talks about renewing the mind, they're truly is not just a spiritual, but a psychological and physiological renewal that happens when we use that powerful Word of God. I know for me, when I was in prison, you know, making Jesus, you know, he came to me and said, "Look, Carl, you've made me your Savior, but you never made me the Lord of your life."
Mm-hmm.
be the Lord of your life. If you do, I'm going to do wondrous things in your life, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to help people in powerful ways. And it was that point that my life turned around when I made Jesus, not just my Savior, I made him my Savior when I was a little kid, but when I actually made him the Lord of my life. And I just think there's so much power in that. As Christians, we often lose sight of that in the daily battles. You know, truly, who is the Lord of our life?
Yeah, and you mentioned, again, a key word, forgiveness. It's the biggest impedance to all of us going to heaven is our lack of forgiveness at times. And again, the addict himself or herself has to forgive themselves if they're ever going to get a chance to recover from this. And that means that support group around them has to forgive them also, or we're never going to get in that right direction, are we, Doctor?
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, as addicts, we know we make a lot of mistakes. We know we screw up. We maybe hide it from other people. We don't admit it to other people, but we know in our heart that we have. But being able to extend forgiveness to ourselves, you know, to others that may have wronged us in some ways, and to God. You know, I find in my life there were times where I was really angry at God, and, you know, not that I could be so narcissistic to think that God needs my forgiveness or I could be better than him to forgive him, but there's a certain level of forgiveness that we have to, you know, extend to God to understand his sovereignty and his control in our life. But being able to forgive ourselves is an important part of that process.
And for the loved ones of the addict, you guys have terrific, at Lightwell House Networks, terrific support programs. You help them to create an intervention plan, find the right treatment program, a facility. Tell me about how all that comes together as you start a big, giant plan to completely overhaul somebody's life.
Yeah, we have a wonderful helpline. You know, our helpline 800 number that you call from our website, you can see it, is equipped with individuals that have all had the recovery experience. You know, we've all had struggles. We've all had an incredible transformation in our life. So we understand, you know, what that mindset is, what those excuses are, what those frustrations are, and whether it's the addict that calls us or whether it's usually about 50% of our calls come from either the spouse or the parent of somebody who's struggling. So to be able to help them, encourage them, give them some support, help them understand what are some of their behaviors that are, you know, as loved ones, we often think that saying yes is always the loving response, but sometimes saying no is a loving response. So being able to, you know, coach them to some extent in some of those behaviors that can be more healthy in the process. Then we can set them up. Sometimes, like I said, since it's infectious, the people close to the addict just aren't thinking clearly. They're too emotionally involved. So being able to set that person up either with somebody on our phone line or somebody local in their area that is a professional and being able to do interventions, and that we can help guide them in an intervention process to be able to really bring loved ones around that have leverage in that addict's life to help clarify, sort of like Scrooge. You know, the story of Scrooge was an intervention showing, you know, what life was like in the past, how life sort of went off track with their addiction, and if it continues off track, here's what they're going to reap, the fruit of the flesh in some very, you know, drastic ways. But if they get help, they get help. There's hope. There's healing. There's power and transformation that's available to them. And we just have a lot of resources. We have that person-to-person, telephone contact that we can provide through our helpline. But then we have a lot of other resources and workshops on our website, too, that are available for people that are struggling or for family members to be able to help understand what can they do differently in their life to be able to influence that struggling person in a powerful, godly way.
We're talking to Dr. Carl Benzio, the founder and executive director of Lighthouse Network. And you mentioned something, too, that pattern of behavior that the addict has. Again, they're very good at being able to lie their way out of things, know how to get what they want. But then the family members also get into that pattern of enabling. And that's a very, very difficult pattern to break from the family members. And it's one of the biggest impedances, again, to the person recovering, being the enabler. Right, Doctor?
Well, that's what that infectious process is. It really sort of infiltrates into those family members or concerned loved ones, and they start to get that fuzzy thinking. So instead of being able to, you know, they often can give great advice to a friend who has an addicted child, but them actually following through with that same advice is difficult. You know, that's why they don't let doctors operate on their own kids. We'd be too emotionally involved. There's distractions, there's distortions because of our emotional ties and involvement and experiences with that individual that make it hard sometimes to say no. I think sometimes the addict plays that trump card, well, I hate you, or I'm leaving you, or you'll never see me again, or I'm going to kill myself. And I think that's where our relationship, you know, we talked about the healing power of Jesus, that's where that relationship with God comes into play, so that that parent, spouse, loved one can feel confident that, you know, I'm not the sovereign Lord of the universe that determines life or death. You know, this is really in God's hands more than it's in mine. I have a a process to steward, and I'm going to try to be a good steward of that. But if I need to set a limit and say, hey, I'm not going to pay for your car insurance, or I'm not going to call into work for you being sick and out, you need to take that responsibility yourself. I'm not going to continue to enable you in that way. And they say, hey, I'm going to kill myself if you don't follow through and help me in this. That's between them and God. I'm going to let God work that out with them however God chooses, you know, to work out. I can't, that's not on me. I don't have control of that. I don't have that much power. I'm not the God of the universe that can control that. I think a lot of parents and spouses just feel manipulated when, you know, the addict knows exactly what buttons to push, knows what your soft spots are, knows exactly what to say to get you to become in line with their needs or with their thinking to compromise what you believe to be godly functioning and godly decision making to get sucked into their, you know, me-centered, you know, Satan-influenced decision making.
And the face of addiction really has changed, though, Dr. Benzio, has it? It's not just the person on the street corner doing heroin or smoking or whatever, anything else they're doing. Now with prescription drugs and everything, it's house wives, it's dads and moms. So even the kids need help with what you're talking about, as sort of that support group. So you have all that kind of thing for all the family members covered on this great new website. So tell us a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, we have, you know, there's, just to give you some eye-popping statistics, you know, alcohol is a third leading cause of death in our society. Addictions, when you include overeating and smoking, actually the leading cause of death, addiction, 70% of people, of your listening audience, 70% of you will have a parent, child, sibling, or spouse with an addiction in their lifetime. So it's profound. Like you said, it permeates everything. We actually, you know, there was an article just out the other day that said overdoses from prescription meds actually outnumber overdoses from illegal drugs now.
Wow, how about that? That's, you know, interesting.
That's particularly bad here. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, Dr. Carl Benzio, thank you so much, the founder and executive director of Lighthouse Network. Go to lighthousenetwork.org and learn more about how you can be helped, too, as a family member struggling with someone who's having an addiction. Dr. Benzio, thank you so much.